This is Dylan FM, the podcast that goes deep into the work and world of Bob Dylan. You're listening to an extended episode, available exclusively to FM Plus or premium subscribers, with your host, Craig Danieloff.
When Bob Dylan released Good As I've Been to You in late 1992, it was his fifth covers album. I'm counting Bob Dylan, Self-Portrait, Dylan, and Down in the Groove as the predecessors, although three of those had at least one original song in the mix. A Dylan album full of covers is, of course, a special kind of Dylan album. When the world's best songwriter is singing the songs of others, it forces us to consider the songs, the reasons, and the message behind that choice. The common story for this album is that Dylan was not in the best personal shape, had been struggling with new songs and making records that he or anyone else or everyone else wasn't happy with, and that he was going back to these old songs, particularly a certain type of old songs, to find something or to redefine himself. It's a story that probably has some element of truth and that fits the narrative, but that is largely based on speculation. Michael Gray told us last week that he didn't really buy this narrative, and the truth is, we'll never know. But for some reason, Dylan chose these songs. And as we heard from Acacia Ryan in episode one of this season, he worked hard on them, playing take after take and mixing up the music and singing because he really wanted to get them right or present them well. Why these songs? What did Bob Dylan find in them? To think about that, the obvious thing to do is to go back and listen to the versions that came before, especially the ones where we have evidence, concrete or circumstantial, that it was likely Bob Dylan was aware of when he sat down to record. And that's what we're going to do on today's episode. As I began building playlists of early versions of all the songs on Good As I've Been to You, I consulted Michael Gray's Song and Dance Man as a guide, because he researched and lays out the history of these songs and all the versions that Dylan knew or was likely to have come into contact with. Some, but not all of these versions are available on the streaming services, as are dozens of other versions of most of these songs, going back as far as recorded music itself or as recent as this past year. If you only know these songs from Dylan's versions, listening to others, the new and the old, can offer clues to the songs and new fodder for thinking about Dylan's performances. Today we're going to hear a bunch of those covers as I talk with Ray Padgett. Ray is something of a covers expert. He runs coversongs.com, and he wrote a book called Cover Me, and is also the author of a 33 and a third book about the Leonard Cohen tribute album, I'm Your Fan. Ray runs the popular Substack Flagging Down the Double E's, which dives into historic Dylan live performances, among other things. Go to dylanlive.substack.com to subscribe. But there are two other interesting things for Dylan fans about Ray. First, he has an upcoming book called Pledging My Time, which shares his conversations with over 50 band members and musicians who played on stage with Bob Dylan. And Ray is going to host a new podcast that will start this summer with us here on the FM Podcast Network. That show will be called Watching the Covers Flow, and will feature Ray diving into and talking about other great versions of covers of the music of Bob Dylan. But today, let's talk more about the cover songs that Dylan sings on Good As I've Been to You. We've made playlists of all of these songs and more. Check the show notes to get the playlist for Apple Music, Spotify, and on Tidal. How do you think of these two albums and Bob and covers? Because it's funny to have the best songwriter in the world whenever he's doing a cover. That's interesting in and of itself, but he's great at it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like historically he's often sort of gone back to the covers well when maybe inspiration is drying up for songs. You know, in the 90s when these two albums came out, he wasn't writing much. You know, there's 7 years of Red Sky and Time Out of Mind, or, you know, Self-Portrait or something. But yeah, they always seem to sort of revitalize him, you know, whether he's covering old folk songs, which obviously he does often from his very first album up through these, or Sinatra, or, you know, the various other wells he's dipped into. I mean, the interesting thing about these two albums is that he's drawing almost exclusively from these very old songs, some fairly well known and covered a lot, some extremely obscure. And in many cases, his versions make them, especially the obscure ones, more popular. You can just track how many covers of certain songs are coming out. And like in 91, it's none. And in, you know, 93, 94, it's a few. You know, one of the ones we're going to talk about is The White Stripes. And Jack White has said, "Good As I've Been to You." He learned a bunch of these songs off that album, and he ended up covering three of them, two with the Stripes, one solo. And he wouldn't have covered any of them without the album we're talking about. So I think sort of popularizing these old and at this point often very obscure songs is one of his real gifts.
It was shocking to me, I don't know about you, in researching this, to find out how many covers some of these songs have, because there's some that it's got to be almost triple digits.
Yeah, Sitting on Top of the World is like nuts.
Yeah. A number of them are, if you scroll and scroll and scroll, and there's very few that only have a few. And the other interesting thing is I thought the diversity, I should say, we're looking today at, you know, originals that in some cases go back to the 20s or maybe in the origin of the song earlier, but recordings to the 20s through things that are in the last few years. So these songs do still get covered, but almost all of them, I mean, I think the newest song. I'm looking at the list now. It's Hard Times. I think Hard Times, is that perceived as the newest song?
Oh, yeah. That sounds right to me. I haven't double checked. But I mean, some of them, yeah, as you say, some of them you don't even know when they're from. It's like 1800s question mark. You know, that's how old some of these are. If you even know where the songwriter is, that makes it fairly new.
What I've enjoyed about diving into the covers, and other than Tomorrow Night, I don't know if, and probably Sitting on Top of the World, I don't think I've had any familiarity with any of the songs. So, you know, even though they were a cover and I always knew it, it was kind of a Bob song. And so to all of a sudden hear all these versions and all these takes and the ones that predated him, it makes listening to the album a little more fun or, you know, interesting to go back to it. You know, you see what he was playing with and off of to make an album like this.
I'm sure the first one I knew was Frog Went A-Courtin', because I think we sang it in my kindergarten class. I'm sure not the Dylan version though.
All right, well, let's dive in because there's a bunch of songs. So the first one is really one of these that has probably the most Shaggy Dog story from an origin point of view. And I'm going to point out, I'm using Song and Dance Man by Michael Gray largely as the text for sourcing stuff. I'm not going to do too much of this detail today, but Michael, when he did Song and Dance Man Volume 3, really did the research. So anyone who wants to really understand which version and who did it and how many there were, and all the dates, should consult that book. And the Song and Dance Man book is really the Bible on this subject. But so Frankie and Albert is one of these songs that the Shots actually rang out on October 15th, 1899. And it's a song that has three or four different names on different versions. The lyrics change maybe more dramatically across the versions than any of the other songs. And there's versions that, as Michael points out, why and how that Dylan likely knew and had heard. One was on the Harry Smith anthology, which obviously was something Bob was familiar with. For my part of this list, I picked the Lead Belly version, which is a kind of a Library of Congress song from an album called Midnight Special. Generally, my list today is going to be source versions that Bob definitely did, clearly emulated, definitely knew or emulated, and your list that you've prepared is more out there, newer, not always newer, but more interesting alternate versions. We'll publish these lists, probably also the playlist that is just tons and tons of versions. People who just want to put it on random and listen in the background. But here is Lead Belly doing Frankie and Albert.
Frankie went down to the prison, called for a bottle of beer. As the loving bartender, loving maybe, yeah. He's my man, God he done me wrong. Frankie went by a house, did not give no loan. Luxury went a glass, having his mama's own. He's my man, God he done me wrong.
So that's one that you can hear that in Bob's version. You know, he's modernized it, but he's actually reasonably faithful to the song. What have you got on, I'll let you introduce your version, and I'll play a little bit of your choice for that slot.
Sure. So a lot of mine are newer. I think this first one, though, is the oldest I picked, albeit not Lead Belly old. This is a version by Champion Jack Dupree and blues singer from New Orleans. His version is called Frankie and Johnny. As you mentioned, there's a bunch of different names. Comes from his 1959 debut album, Blues from the Gutter. This one, Bob probably didn't model it off of. It doesn't sound much like Dylan's, but he probably knew it because he's mentioned Champion Jack Dupree a few times in interviews. And this is probably his best known album. So I'd be surprised if Bob hadn't at least heard this version. Although, as you say, his version is a lot closer to the Lead Bellies than this one is. This is a great version from what a lot of people call one of the best blues albums ever.
Oh, Johnny shot the German. Lord, and he shot him through the head. He ran out the door and he fell on his side.
It's interesting what parts of that song stick in all the versions and where the story changes tend to be.
Yeah, I think that's true for a few songs on here where he pulls different lyrics from different versions. In some cases, it seems like maybe he adds his own lyrics because you can't trace them to any other version. You know, he really is sort of, that's why it's interesting to play the which, what did he pick from where game, because in most cases, it's not a direct line. One and only one version.
So the next one is Jim Jones at Botany Bay. And at least in my investigation, this was the one that had the least kind of dynamic range in the versions. I think you're not allowed to be an Irish singer without publishing a version of this song, judging from what's available. Anyway, the one I picked is supposedly the one Bob did or would have known by A.L. Lloyd. Here is that version of Jim Jones at Botany Bay.
Untake me tip before you ship to join the Iron Gang. Don't be too gay at Botany Bay, or else you'll surely hang. Or else you'll surely hang, says he. And after that, Jim Jones. High upon the gallows tree, the crows will pick your bones. You'll have no chance for mischief then. Remember what I say. They'll flog the poaching out of you down there at Botany Bay.
All right, so that's the source version of Jim Jones at Botany Bay, and let's look at what you.
So mine is much more recent. It's from 2009, an Australian band called The Currency. This song, say a lot of Irish people cover it. I think a lot of Australians cover it too, because there was a pretty famous version I read in the 80s by a guy named Mick Slocum, who was Australian. And this band did it in 2009. As you'll hear, it is not at all similar to Bob's. It's not at all similar to any of the traditional versions. The comparison I had was like Dropkick Murphys or Flogging Molly, those sort of bands that like take old Irish tunes and Irish sounds and punk them up a little. And so that's what you get with the Currency's version of Jim Jones.
You get no chance for mischief there, remember what I say. They'll float the poaching out of you when you get to Botany Bay. The wind blew high upon the sea, the wind blew up in gales. I'd rather drown in misery than go to New South Wales.
And so next we have a song that this is another one. There are quite a lot of versions and quite a few modern versions of Blackjack Davy or Blackjack David, as it is. I'm going to go to one of the old versions that certainly would have been something Bob knew, which is the Carter Family.
How old are you, my pretty little miss? How old are you, my honey? She answered him with a silly smile. I'll be 16. Next Sunday, I'll be 16 next Sunday.
So Dylan was actually taped in the early 60s doing a Gypsy Davy version, Woody Guthrie style, which is, this is one of these songs that has multiple names and multiple times. Oh, that taping was at the Gleasons in March of 1961. So this is when he was one of many on this album that it's very well known he was familiar with from his first days in New York. And tell us what you've got for Blackjack David.
So sure. So you can keep that line going. If you go from Carter Family to Bob Dylan, you can also go from Bob Dylan to the White Stripes. This is one of, as I said, three songs that Jack White has covered. This is the one he's covered the most. The White Stripes played it a lot in concert, and they actually recorded a studio version as the B-side to a single for a little song called Seven Nation Army. Needless to say, if you know the White Stripes, it does not sound much like Dylan or like the Carter.
It would be interesting to try to find out who had the most success with the cover of one of those. That may be the winner.
Yeah, I love that. I love that one. There's a whole fan compilation, I'm sure you can track down somewhere online, of all the White Stripes covers of both Dylan songs, of which there were, of course, many in concert, but also of songs that they clearly got from Bob Dylan, learned from Bob Dylan, that being one of them. I think it's called Megan, Jack, and Bob. It's like one of the great bootleg compilations from the 2000s era.
So next we have Kennedy I.O., which is another older song, 1929. There's a reference to a version here. But a guy named Nick Jones put it out in 1980 on an album called Penguin Eggs. And the CD came out just a few months before Bob's recording. And so the thought process is, and I guess the match or the feel of it, is that this is what Bob heard when he sat down in his garage in 92 to record it.
Sailor boy, but it's true that she loved him well. For to go off to sea with him, like she did not know how. She longed to see that seaport town called Kennedy Isle.
I'm also a big fan of the 10,000 Maniacs version, as well as the John Wesley Harding. Wesley Stace has a very nice version of that as well, but there are a few dozen that are great. What did you find?
Yeah, the one I found, I couldn't figure out the origins, but I suspect it was inspired by the 10,000 Maniacs one, because it's a young Irish group called The Outside Track that covers traditional songs. This is one of them, but, you know, it's got a little bit of a poppy sort of sheen, especially compared to, like, you know, Nick Jones or something. So this is the Outside Track, doing it from a 2015 album.
So she bargained with a young sailor boy. It's all for a piece of gold. Strange way then he that high, all down and true. Saying, I'll dress you up in sailor's clothes. Your jacket shall be blue. You'll see that seaport town called Kennedy Isle.
I almost think I'm listening to a podcast on 1.5 speed there.
Yeah, there's a few of these on my list where they take it and they make it a lot faster. Blackjack Davy and a few others. Warren Zevon, actually, I found a YouTube video at least once live. He performed it in Canada, naturally, and it's pretty good.
So Sitting on Top of the World is next, and this is Good As I've Been to You is not the first Bob Dylan released recording of this song, which is kind of cool. In 1961, I think it was, Bob got in the room with Big Joe Williams, who was recording the song for his own album, and was asked to provide harmonica and backing vocals. And I'm sure I heard this sometime before, but I don't remember it. What's cool is how clearly you can hear Bob.
Happy today, didn't know your name. Should I worry, cry you do? Now she gone, ain't gonna worry,
'Cause I'm sitting on top of the world.
Anyway, that's just some fun historical trivia. The version that Bob was informed by for the Good As I've Been To You take is from the Mississippi Sheiks, a band that would come to have even more influence over World Gone Wrong just a year later.
Was all the summer and all the fall just trying to find my little all in all. But now she's gone, I don't worry, I'm sitting on top of the world.
What have you got for sitting on top of the world, Ray?
So in this case, my version doesn't come that far after that Big Joe Williams session you played. This is by Jerry Reed, a 1969 album called Jerry Reed Explores Guitar Country. And I actually discovered this album via a Dylan connection. A few years ago, the Country Music Hall of Fame had an exhibit called Bob Dylan and the Nashville Cats, all about like the studio guys who played on Blonde on Blonde and some of those sessions whose nickname was the Nashville Cats. And they had like, I got the program, and it had like a bunch of other albums that the Nashville Cats had played on, you know, roughly around the same time. And this was one of them. Chet Atkins produced it. If you look at the, if you look at the, you know, credits and compare them to like some of those Dylan albums from Nashville, you'll see a lot of the same players. So yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know if Bob literally had heard this version, but it's certainly plausible. It's a great sort of up-tempo, more up-tempo version than, you know, you usually hear this as a slow blues, but I like Jerry Reed's kind of jumping country take on it.
And I don't worry, cause I'm sitting up here on top of the world. Yeah. Mississippi River is deep and wide. That woman I love, love is on the other side. All but nice and gone, gone. I don't worry none, cause I'm sitting on top of the world. Yeah.
Didn't he turn out to, you know, ride around in Trans Ams with Burt Reynolds in movies and stuff?
Is that true? I didn't know that.
Is that the same Jerry Reed?
I hope so.
I think he became an actor and is more known for his later acting, if it's the same guy, or unless I'm getting a letter wrong out of his name.
You might be right. I don't know much about him. I just know him from this Nashville Cats thing.
So next we have Little Maggie, and this is another one of these songs that came out of the early 30s. Everybody played on or played versions of. It's a Stanley Brothers song. It was recorded by Flatt and Scruggs, New Lost City Ramblers. There's everybody at that time who always, you know, often did the same songs. Got a piece of this. The Stanley Brothers version is the one I've chosen to represent the Dylan influence on Little Maggie. 30
flowers were made for bloom. 30 stars were made to shine. 30 women were made for love. Little Maggie was made for mine.
Obviously interesting in a way in the role Ralph Stanley and some of these themes would influence the Time Out of Mind writing half a decade later.
Yeah, and Dylan would cover, you know, tons of Stanley Brothers associated songs, you know, within a few years after 99 2000.
So you've got a different Little Maggie.
The song often kind of sounds like that. It's like a bluegrass standard, so being contrary as I am, I wanted to pick one that was not bluegrass, that sounded as different as possible, and ended up with Lauren O'Connell. I think this is the most recent song on my list. It came out just a few years ago on a covers album she did. She's a young singer-songwriter from California, and she has this terrific covers album, and most of the stuff is, you know, new, modern, Elliott Smith, that sort of thing. But right in the middle, Little Maggie, this, you know, old folk song that doesn't sound like it does when Bob or the Stanley Brothers.
Oh, yonder stands little Maggie with a damn graphene in hand. She's drinking away her trouble. She's caught in some other man.
So Hard Times comes next, and Hard Times is certainly a great song version on Good As I've Been to You. Another one where there's other songs that aren't this called Hard Times from a lot of people, a lot of other Hard Times-ish ish songs before this this Stephen Foster song. On some of the other collections, the playlist will share, I have included some of the others that are kind of share some kinship with this song. But what I've got for us today is a James Taylor and Yo-Yo Ma version from an album called Appalachian Journey.
Let us pause in life's pleasures to count its many tears, while we all stop sorrow with a pour. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more.
So, yeah, so what have you got for Hard Times? Oh, I see here you went.
Some of mine.
Not old.
Not old.
But he sings old.
Yeah, not old and not obscure. Some of the artists are pretty under the radar. And this one is Bruce Springsteen of the E Street Band. He covered it a bunch of times on his Working on a Dream tour in 2009, 2010. I actually was looking it up and I saw it in concert 3 times, apparently. I think because he had backing singers on that tour, as you'll hear in this version, it becomes a real sort of gospel-y workout for the band and for Clarence on sax. So this is the live Springsteen version.
And a rough vocal, intentionally gruff sound, I thought he makes here.
Yeah, I mean, this was only a couple years after he did that Seeger Sessions thing where he was like really doing a bunch of old folk songs, but with like a big band and kind of like a, yeah, I think in sort of a same way, a little grittier, which I like. I loved that tour and I like this version of the singers.
There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. It's the song of the tired and the weary. Hard times come again no more.
There are a lot of nice versions of that as well. It's interesting putting together an alt version of Dylan covers. You'd think it would be kind of hard. And these are great songs and people do interesting versions of them. I think the big list is fun. I would recommend people the big list that I'll share. I've had it on shuffle in the background for most of the last 2 weeks and it's really enjoyable.
You were talking about how often these songs have been covered and we go from like one of the most covered songs on the album, which is Hard Times, one of the least covered, which is Step It Up and Go. One of the few songs that has not been covered 1,001 times by other people.
Yeah, but there's a good diversity of it. A lot of people, there's a lot of versions that they just take the chorus and they write a new song effectively around it. What I'm offering is the Blind Boy Fuller version in the late 30s, early 40s, a likely inspiration for the way Bob took it.
Step it up and go. Well, you can't stand padlock, so you got to step it up and go. Got a little girl, she stays a step. Try to make a living by putting on ass. You got to step it up and go. Yeah, yeah. Well, you can't stand padlock, so you got to step it up and go. Play it for me now. Yeah, yes, yes.
Blind Boy Fuller there is the man who also
brought us Weeping Willow, which we know from the Supper Club performances and other Dylan covers later. So what did you find for Step It Up and Go, Ray?
So my version comes from 20 years after Blind Boy Fuller's, which still makes it one of the earliest songs on my list. This is the Everly Brothers from a 1962 album called Instant Party. It's not one of their famous ones. It has a bunch of covers and stuff on it. One interesting thing is you listen, you'll hear prominent piano and prominent guitar, and it's one of those where the liner notes, a lot of major names pop out. It's Floyd Kramer on piano. He was in Elvis Presley's first band. And Chet Atkins, of course, who did everything in Nashville, he's the guitarist. So it wasn't a very successful album, but not for lack of big-name session musicians playing.
Nickel is a nickel, dime is a dime. Get you a girl, you can have a good time. You got step it up and go. You got step it up and go. Well, you can't stand back. You got step it up and go. Two old mates sitting in the sand, each one wishing that the other was a man. You got step it up and go.
Yeah, I really like that one.
Yeah. On the longer list, there's some musically diverse versions of that are fun to listen to. Next, we have, as I said before, I think it's the song many know from Elvis Presley, but the version that Bob was likely to hear first. Was from Horace Heidt and his Musical Nights, who did one of the first versions of Tomorrow Night.
Tomorrow night, will you remember what you said to me? Tomorrow night, will all the thrill be gone? Tomorrow night. Another song that wouldn't linger on.
So according to Michael Gray, Elvis Presley was 13 years old when Lonnie Johnson had a hit with that song, but also would have likely known the Laverne Baker version, who put it out on a B-side in 1954. So that song's been around. Again, there's a dozen really enjoyable and diverse versions. What have you got for us?
So mine is from not long after Elvis recorded it and perhaps inspired by his version. This is Charlie Rich, famous country singer. This one came out in 65 on RCA Victor. I like Charlie Rich is such a good singer that even a lot of the versions of this song are fairly schmaltzy, including this one in terms of the arrangement. But I think he's a good enough singer that he can sort of overcome even these sort of giant orchestras that people love to put on this song.
That may have inspired Elvis a little bit.
I think Elvis's was first. I don't have the dates in front of me.
Another deeply Irish song that there are many Irish covers of is Arthur McBride. And the Paul Brady version is the one it is said that Bob owes the biggest debt to. There's a couple, he recorded a couple of times, but here's Andy Irvin and Paul Brady doing Arthur McBride.
Cousin one Arthur like bride as we went a-walking down by the seaside. Now mark what followed and what did betide, for it being on Christmas morning. Out for recreation we went on a tramp, and we met Sergeant Upper and Corporal.
Did you get us away from the Irish on that one, Ray?
Sure did not. This is like, I don't know if you can get far away from the Irish on this song, at least not from the versions I clicked around. You know, you can get to Martin Carthy, I guess you can get to the UK, but yeah, this is the version called by the Exiles that came out in 66. I just like the arrangement with the violin fiddle backing. Martin Carthy used a similar sort of arrangement. So still very traditional, but in a different register than the, you know, acoustic guitar thing.
And it's no good you bragging to me of your clothes. You've only the lend of them, as I suppose. And you dare say nothing, for your well knows that you would get flogged in the morning if you would insult me without any word. I swear by my king, I would draw my broadsword, run through your bodies as strength me afford, ere you could breathe out the morning.
It's kind of interesting to listen to all those, how it doesn't come oozing out of Dylan's version. You know, it didn't. He's so sort of deep and centered that, and the consistency with which these songs, as we hear them today, are so all over the place. Really, I mean, they're of a certain time and of a certain texture, I guess. But you know, that he makes them all hang together in a certain way. Well, there's an element of faithfulness, and there's an element of bringing the songs to him. This is why I like hearing all these and then going back to The Good As I've Been to You.
Yeah, they're fairly versatile songs, so they can shine in the sort of stripped down, you know, arrangements Dylan and various other people were playing do. But they also, you know, can be punked up or whatever, just in all sorts of genres. They kind of hang together.
You're Gonna Quit Me, Baby is next. And this is a song Reverend Gary Davis played. Bob would have heard in the village and a lot of other people, but I have a Blind Blake version here in the source slot.
You won't quit me, baby, but as I've been to you, Lord, Lord, but as I've been to you, Lord, Lord, but as I've been to you, give you my money, honey, to buy your shoes and clothes, Lord, Lord, to buy your shoes and clothes, Lord, Lord, to buy your shoes and clothes.
If Bob didn't record it, someone could take AI and put Bob's voice on that one, and that could have been it.
Yeah, very Bob. My version is by a group in New Orleans called Tuba Skinny. I actually first saw them on the street. They're a fairly well-known street band playing jazz and ragtime music. If you were ever down there around Mardi Gras season and walk around the French Quarter, you'll probably run into them sooner or later. This is a version they did on a 2019 album called Some Kind of Shake.
I love that line, yeah. Buy you shoes and clothes. If you stop and think about the formation of that.
Yeah, shoes just, and then clothes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't know if it's a songwriting device, if it's a, you know, if you're in the 30s and trying to appeal to a woman you know, shoes are their own category of interesting, and then always close too. I always think that's a funny thing to say. All right, we're rounding the bend here, and now we have Diamond Joe. So this is one that Bob is known to have performed in the early 60s as well as the late 80s before it made this album. Ramblin' Jack Elliott was also a frequent performer of it, so it's perhaps the one that Bob heard first, and let's hear a little bit of that.
There is a man you'll hear about most every place you go. His holdings are in Texas, and his name is Diamond Joe, and he carries all his money in a diamond-studded jaw. And he never was much bothered by the process of the law. I hired out the Diamond Joe boys, I did offer him my hand, and he gave me a string of horses so they could not stand.
It's really good Ramblin' Jack. It's kind of perfect. A lot of times there's these guys who are kind of part of the folklore, or, you know, the table setting or whatever for Bob Dylan's career. But you could see this guy in the 60s, you know, had his own thing going. I saw him not too long ago, actually, here in New York, which was fun to get to do. Anyway, that was Ramblin' Jack.
Yeah, Ramblin' Jack's great. I interviewed him for my book. It's coming out in a little bit. Awesome. And he was like, I joke in the intro to that interview, like, obviously when you start a conversation with everyone, you're like, hey, how are you doing? And then, you know, I edit the interview, so I would cut that out. He's the only person who gave an interesting enough answer to, hey, what's up? How are you? That I kept that question and answer in the book, because that's all you need with Ramblin'. He is Ramblin', not because he travels, but because he's a good talker. So that's the one interview where even, hey, how are you, got such a good answer that I had to include it.
Oh, that's great. That's excellent that you got to talk to him for the book.
Yeah, he was one of the first interviews I did. It was a couple of years ago at this point when I was just sort of conceiving of the book. And I was like, maybe I'll hold this one if I do end up doing a book. So I'm excited to get out there. I'd sort of forgotten about it. And then I was editing it a few months ago. And I was like, God, he's good. He's just so fun to hear talk and to hopefully to read talk on the page.
Yeah. So what's the version of Diamond Joe you picked for us?
So I've got one by Molly and Jack Tuttle. Molly Tuttle, since this recording, has gone on to some prominence. She's a young bluegrass player who was nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys this year, which a bluegrass person being nominated for a Grammy of that magnitude made quite a bit of waves. But this is from way long ago. She was only 13 years old, if you can believe it, when she recorded this with her father, Jack Tuttle, who is a San Francisco bluegrass legend. I did not have any idea she was young, or, you know, that young when listening to this. She sounds, you know, like someone who's been picking bluegrass for years. So this is Molly and Jack Tuttle doing Diamond Joe.
Yeah, that's good. These recent versions are really nice. That one I put out last week, I've listened to five or six times. The compilation of all pretty recent stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's fun to hear how people take it in different ways, both different from Dylan and different from, you know, if these are from Blind Blake or, you know, whoever else in the 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
You know, try to and there's keep just it something not,
that, you know, there's a modernness that comes out in that that doesn't, when you listen to these old ones, it just feels old in a way that's hard for us to get our heads around, you know. That's kind of, you're always saying through the old to the song. And the, these new ones, I think, help really see the song itself a little bit better way.
I mean, it's continuing the tradition of Dylan himself introducing people to older artists, or, you know, the Rolling Stones or something, where like, yeah, these sort of scratchy old blues recordings, brilliant as they may be, sometimes you need like an entry point. You know, you can't quite hear it the first time if it sounds like something was recorded in the 30s, but you hear that and you're like, oh yeah, that sounds, you know, I can tap my toe to that.
Yeah. Some of the anthology songs or, who's the guy who sold his soul at the crossroads?
Robert Johnson.
Yeah. That Robert Johnson box is a job to listen to. And then you hear Keith Richards acting like he just got the new Springsteen bootleg and he's all enthusiastic about it. All right. And for our final song, we may have the oldest song. I don't know, but per the research I've done, which is reading Michael Gray's Song and Dance Man, this song is traced back to Wedderburn's book in 1549 called The Complaint of Scotland, in which the song is called The Frog Came to My Dear. I'm sure it's pronounced, but it's spelled D-U-R. And then there's a reference in Grimm's Fairy Tales. And again, I'll let you get Song and Dance Man to look it up. But a version that I'm sure Bob knew is this one by his buddy Woody Guthrie.
The frog went a-courting and he did a ride. Hey, hey. The frog went a-courting and he did a ride. Hey. Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride, sword and a pistol by his side. Hey, 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 hey. Road did he come to Miss Mouse's door. Hey, hey. Road did he come to Miss Mouse's door. Hey, hey. Road did he come to Miss Mouse's door. See three raps and a bear out roar. Hey, 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 hey.
And it still gets played on the list I shared the other day. We had Springsteen doing it, which you've already introduced us to covering these kind of songs today. What did you find for the frog?
So I was looking for versions that were very different, versions that were very loud. I found a couple of really good ones. There was a tough choice. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds do a really good one. But I ended up going with the Flat Duo Jets, which are like a garage rock group from the 80s and 90s. Speaking of the White Stripes, they were actually an influence that Jack White cited fairly often early on. The main guy, Dexter Romweber, later recorded Jack. But this is from 1991, well before the White Stripes. This is the Flat Duo Jets, much louder version of Frog Went A-Courtin'.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and just as I was listening to that, I realized that came out a year before Dylan's version. So I'm just going to say that Bob definitely based his version on that one. I'm going to authoritatively state that as a fact.
Yeah, there's, you know, you can hear the 3% influence that had. Just
3% nudging, is generous.
Nudging Woody Guthrie out in the back of his throat. I hope everyone enjoys these different takes on this song, on all these songs, and it helps shake your head up a little bit as you go back to Good As I've Been to You. Thanks, Ray, for doing the research and sharing a whole bunch of interesting versions.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun. This is what the sort of thing I do in my free time anyway. So,
yeah. Well, so we will put up the lists and the playlists for Apple, Spotify, and Tidal, and Maybe we'll come back and do it again for World Gone Wrong before we get out of this little phase, because those songs also have big diverse histories. And for those of us who spend 80% of our time listening to Bob, you know, it's good to get out once in a while, and then you can tell people you're not listening to Bob all the time. You're just listening to other people do Bob songs, but it's diverse. Anyway, thanks a lot, Ray.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. This show is a part of the FM Podcast Network. Visit us at fmpods.com.